but I know the lights of Christmas are beautiful, folks. It's something that we all enjoy. Thursday night, me and Tammy were at Grand Rivers, and it's a beautiful time there as we were riding around town looking at the lights and the sailboats all lit up, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, you get caught up kind of in the worldly side of Christmas, you know. And so we think about the beautiful lights and the beautiful trees and all the things that goes along with Christmas. And then we come to church on Sunday morning and we kind of, for a few moments, we kind of stop and we kind of reflect back where Jesus was. You know, that's, and then we'll leave and then we'll get caught right back up in the world. And if we're not really, really grounded in our relationship with Christ, then we'll find ourselves drifting back into the world each day unless we have this relationship that brings us back to the Scriptures each day and brings us back to devotions each day, and we stay focused upon what this season really is. It's about our Savior being born. It's about a light coming into the world, a light that is bigger and more grander than anything that we'll ever see that humans can put together. And so that's kind of what we're looking at today. Last week when we started, and, you know, everything came from God in the beginning. And, you know, we know that Jesus was there. And we know that it was so hard, folks. I can only imagine how hard it was for God to send His Son to this earth, knowing what He had to do, knowing that was His Son that He was sending. Then He had to die for our sin. And that could, I can't imagine how much we celebrate Christmas, how much God must have been saying, if these people would only have known and recognized what they had, what blessings they had from day one, Adam and Eve, they could have continued without this having to be done. But God knew from the very beginning that it would happen, that it was His plan for all of this to come to be, because He knew that we as people, we would not live a life that we should. We would not live without sin. So as we look at the beginning last week, Brian did, and as we know that everything was created through and brought light to everyone, then we know that this light shines in the darkness. But folks, we're right now in a dark, dark spot, it seems like, to us. You look at anything you want to look at, and it seems like we're in a dark part of the world. And we are. We're in a darkness that I've never really lived in before. But also, if you look at it from the church point of view, I'm seeing people coming to church, people coming to know Jesus that's never, ever, I ever thought would begin to even have an interest in Jesus Christ. And so, as dark as it is, in some ways, this light is lightening up, and it's beginning to be brighter and brighter, and people are recognizing that the time is coming, the time is a lot closer than it's ever been. And so people are beginning to respond. And so God knew that He had to have a messenger before Jesus arrived. He knew this. And so, folks, we stop and we think about this messenger of John the Baptist being the messenger, the last great prophet. He had the last great message of the Old Testament before everything began new. And John, we're going to see here in a minute how he responded to God's call. But folks, you stop and you think about this dark world that we live in. You think about how many babies that we abort every day. And if you look back in Luke 1:40, right around 40, 41, it says that when Mary got to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and when got to Elizabeth and the baby John recognized that Mary was there, and he was also in her womb, in Elizabeth's womb. He was further along than Mary, than Jesus was. But it says that he jumped with joy. He knew that he was in the presence of the Lord. He knew that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and that he was in the presence of the Lord. And not only did he know, but Elizabeth knew. Because what did she say in Luke? She said, "I can't believe, Mary, the mother of my Lord, I have the opportunity to be in the presence of Mary, the mother of my Lord." She knew who Mary had in her womb. She had her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, John comes along. He's been born, and it's time for him to go out into the world. And John the Baptist is pretty interesting to me for a lot of different reasons. But one of the reasons I like John the Baptist, he didn't go to the city, did he? John was born, he got grown, and before he done anything, he went into the wilderness, folks. Now, the wilderness wasn't the city. It wasn't out in the backyard. It was away from kind of the people, and he was a pretty rough old dude, wasn't he? He a whole lot like me. He just pretty rough old dude. He country guy, you know. And that was who he was. And then we see the scripture saying in John 1:6 through 9 that God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, as we see this scripture, folks, we know that God had sent one ahead of Jesus, John the Baptist, to tell the world, to put the word out, that there's one coming greater than me. And John said, "I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes, you know. I'm not worthy of anything compared to what Jesus is going to be." But Jesus sent the word to John while he was in the wilderness. And he told him to take this word forward. Now, folks, today we stop and we think about our life, and we're living in a dark time, and so many of us are living in the wilderness. There's so many times back years ago, folks, I lived in the wilderness in a lot of different ways. I was living in the wilderness. And yet, I'd come to church on Sunday morning, and I would hear the word, and I would think, as much of a wilderness as I'm living in, Lord, how in the world would you use me to take the word and to show others? I don't have that ability. There's no way for me to do this. And I don't know, Lord, where I'm going with my life, but I know that there's a direction, and I don't know what that direction is, but I'm going to leave this to you. And I was scared. I was scared of that direction. Can you imagine how John the Baptist felt? He was in the wilderness. He got a message from God to take this word and to go out into the world and to let people come to him, and he started telling everyone about Jesus, their Savior that is coming. He's not here yet, but he's coming. And so again, folks, that brings us right back to today. He's not here yet again, but he's coming. And it's not as long as it has been. He's coming. And so therefore, it makes almost each and every one of us like John the Baptist. Jesus is asking us to take our light. He says, "I'm not here right now physically. I'm not here as the light." Just like John was telling the people, he's not here right now. He is coming. But he has been here, and he has left us the gospel. And we know that he died upon that cross. And so therefore, his light is reflecting off of who? It reflects off of us. Because we are his people. We're his children. And so that light reflects off of us. But how far does our light reflect? You know, how far does it reflect on a good day? on a good clear day? Not very far, does it? Mine don't. Sometimes I have to just sit down and I have to ask the Lord, why in the world, Lord, would you even put up with me? Why? Because my light's not reflecting. It's not reflecting at all. People are seeing and hearing out of me things that has no reflection of you. And that's not right. And yet, he has to remind me that, son, you're human. You might be the pastor, one of the pastors, but you're human. And you're not going to ever, ever be the true light. You're just going to be a reflection of me. Some days it's brighter, some days it's not. So we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves, he sent that light to every one of us who might believe because of John's testimony. John himself was not the light, just as we were saying. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. He was simply saying, I know that Jesus Christ is coming. I know that you need to repent of your sin. I know these people, and I know who you are, and I know you need to repent. Repent of your sin and come to know this man that's coming as your Lord and Savior. He was so bold about it that he even went to Herod and said, you know, you've married this woman illegally. You don't have the right to be married to her. How many of us go today and tell somebody that? We don't, because we don't want to hear the aftershock of it to what people might say about us. But he did. And what happened? It got him killed, didn't it? Herodias had him killed. She stopped that message. She thought that he was preaching, but she didn't. Why was it that she didn't stop the message? Because he had told enough people like us to take that message back into the world. But are we taking that message back? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? I'm just asking. I know I don't. I'm talking to you from me, not y'all. I don't know. But I know I don't. I reflect sometime more Mike than I do God. And that's not good. And so we see that he says, I'm just here to tell you about the light. I'm here to tell you about God the Father. I'm here to tell you about his Son Jesus that's coming. And folks, that's all that any of us can do. Yes, the preacher's held to a higher standard. The preacher should be held to a higher standard. He should be the one setting the example in almost every situation. He should be the one setting the example at home, everywhere he goes. But folks, he's human. He cannot do it 100% of the time. And so therefore, when he doesn't, then people remember when he doesn't. They don't remember what he done. They remember what he didn't do. And so therefore, we see that the one true light, Jesus Christ, who gives light to everyone, we see him living in us. Folks, I hope today that as we stop and we think about John the Baptist and how hard he had it and how much he preached in this wilderness, and he didn't go to town. People came to the wilderness to him to hear the word and to be baptized for their repentance of their sin. That's pretty awesome. How many of us today will go out into the wilderness to hear us preach if we said we're going to be gathered up at Jones's Mill down there in the bottom this next week and this is where church going to be? How many of you think we're going to have? Ann Wilson, she could walk down there, but other than that, we might not have nobody. I mean, that's about to, you know, y'all not going to come down in the wilderness to hear me and Brian preach? Besides, it's cold. We'd be cold time we got out of there. So there you are, folks. We have to stop and think about where the people went, how they responded to this word. I see people responding today to the word of God. I see them coming to know Jesus Christ. But as you stop and you think about Let's just think about John and Jesus. Had either one of them been aborted, or either one of them had been something had happened that they decided that they didn't, their mothers decided they didn't want to go down this route, Jesus's mother especially, she could have said, you know, there are so many people's going to be laughing at me, so many people's going to be making fun of me. I just don't think that I can do this. And I think that it would be better if we just didn't have this baby. Folks, stop and think about what we just said a few minutes ago. John leaped in his mother's womb when he heard the word. When he heard the word, he leaped in his mother's womb. He knew who Jesus was. I know from my experience of having kids, when you have a kid and he gets here and you speak to him, he knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who you are. Evan don't remember it, but I guarantee you when he heard Eddie's voice, he knew exactly who Eddie was. He can't tell me about it, but Eddie might could tell me about it. But that's the way that we're set up. Ross knew exactly who I was the moment I spoke to him. He was screaming top of his lungs. The moment I spoke to him, he just shut up. I mean, he did. It was just like, zoom, that's it. He looked at me like, are you the dude that's been talking to me for about 6 months here? That's exactly what he looked at me like. So you're the dude that's been talking to me. It was the coolest thing I've ever experienced. It was awesome, I'm telling you. But that was because I had talked to him for 6 months, constantly, telling him all kind of stuff. But a lot of good stories. And he was ready for them when he got here, JT. But folks, today as we stop and we think about John, and he come to tell us about the light, that's our duty. That's our response to God himself for sending us Jesus. To tell others about the love that he has for us. How many times in a week do we tell others about Jesus' love? Sometimes we don't, do we? But we tell them about where the beautiful lights are. Y'all need to go out on 79 or 69 or 641. That's where the beautiful lights are. And we'll put it all over Facebook. But we have a hard time telling anyone about the love of Christ. And the greatest light of all, the greatest light of all has come, he's been here, and he's coming back. And folks, he's coming back. That is a story to tell. It's always a good story to tell. But that is probably the grandest story to any of us could be telling right now. I was reading this morning in Matthew 24. And he said there will be the beginning of the birth pains. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be all kinds of things going dark like we're seeing now. Sin will be rampant. It will be sin everywhere. And he said, don't get excited. The time is not at the end. We're not there yet. He said, we're just getting started. A lot of times people like to ask the preacher, when's the end going to be? Well, he went on to say in Matthew 24 that neither the angels nor he knew the end. He doesn't know. We don't know. But we do know that one day he's coming back. And we do know, just as John was preaching that he was coming, the great light is coming. And he's coming into this world that we live. He is coming back to this world that we live. Stop and think about it. Go back out into the world and share this love of Christ that you have in your heart, I hope. And share it with someone this Christmas season. Make a difference in someone else's life. Let them enjoy Christmas in a way that they've never, ever enjoyed it before. They've looked at it from a worldly side. Beautiful Christmas trees, beautiful lights. And you know, kids. There's some in here that's a little bit younger than those that's outside. But my granddaddy, you know, I'll tell y'all this, to the younger kids, and maybe to the older kids too, I don't know, the old like me. But my granddaddy, he used to whistle continuously, and he whistled the Star of Bethlehem song constantly. And every now and then he could sing too, and every now and then he would stop and he would sing a little verse of it, you know, and he would whistle it in Christmas time. And then he had an old 40s model pickup, and then he had about a 60 model Ford, and it didn't have a radio in it, and it didn't have an air conditioner, it didn't have anything. And we would go and we would look for Christmas trees, and we'd cut the right Christmas tree for my mom, and for grandmother, and we'd bring them home. And then he would tell me, he'd say, every year he would express to me, he'd say, son, he'd say, you see that Christmas tree, just like I never heard it before, and I'd give it anything to be able to hear it today. He said, you see that Christmas tree? He said, that Christmas tree's green. He said, you see all these other trees? They're all dead. They've lost their leaves. He said, them leaves are gone. He said, they're not dead. He said, they're just sleeping. He said, it's kind of like we'll be someday when we die. We'll just sleep for a while, and then Jesus will come back, and he will bring us to be with him. But he said, you see this green evergreen tree? He said, this is why we cut this cedar tree each year, because it represents eternal life. It's always green. It's always going to be green. He said, you'll see very few of them that will die, turn brown. He said, you'll see very few of them that get blown down, because they're deep-rooted. They're rooted so deep. And he said, that represents that Christmas tree, and that root system represents you and your relationship with the Lord. And that greenness and that beauty of that tree is your life from now on. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be with you from now on. And as I heard that story each and every year, when I was little, it registered with me. As I got older, it began to really register with me that Christmas tree represents Jesus Christ for real. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to die. He's not going to give up. Yes, we'll go through a season, and most of us are in that fall season of life. A lot of us are. And we're fixing to lose our leaves, and we're going to have that opportunity to take that rest. But it's not going to be long, folks, till Jesus is coming back. And we will see those that follow him will be resurrected. Won't that be a beautiful, beautiful thing? Amen. So this Christmas, I hope you look at your Christmas tree and think about that. It's a representation of Jesus. It's a representation of God. They're not going anywhere, folks. They're not going anywhere. And they're going to be with you forever, whether you be here alive or whether you be with them. Think about it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.